Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jacksonville Jaguars come to town on Sunday, a game you can hear right here on Sports Radio 610. A noon Sunday kickoff, finally. I like it. 9 o'clock pregame, you and Rick Kamla.
Feels like normal.
Yeah.
Feels like right. Divisional foe.
We're going to have normal for a while now.
Yeah, Leonard Fournette coming in. Probably feeling pretty high about the LSU Tigers. Feeling like, hey, we saw LSU beat up on UT, and now it's my chance to come in here and beat up on a Texans team.
Fournette's, I know we're going to talk about why the Jags suck in this segment, yeah. But I'm going to give a little bit of praise right here in watching that game against Kansas City. It was a game where they, you know, Jacksonville, if they wanted to run the football, they kind of got out of sorts because they fell behind on the scoreboard.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to show up maybe in the box score the way it looked if you watch the game, but Leonard Fournette looks good.
He looks
spry.
You know, you hear all these stories about, oh, this guy got in shape in the offseason, this guy didn't get in shape, whatever. Fournette looks like he got in shape.
Yeah.
Fournette rededicated himself. There was a nice couple think pieces about him, about how he realized how to put things in perspective and all that. This nice PR type of stuff. Looks like it actually might be legitimate. He looks like he had been, the last couple of years, it looked like he was stuck somewhere between old school stodgy running back and sleek new age running back. He looks a little bit more like a sleek new age running back right now. He beat some guys to the edge once in a way that I don't think he would have done before in the last couple of years. So he's a threat.
He's probably seeing that in order to get paid as a running back in the league, you need to be a guy who's sort of the nerve center for everything that your team does offensively. Ezekiel Elliott, Todd Gurley, Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson in Arizona, guys like that.
He averaged 3.3 yards a carry in 2018. It was bad.
It was bad.
It was really bad. That's hard to blame that on an offensive line.
And he got disciplined for, that was, I think, the game here in week 17. Remember, Coughlin disciplined him and one other player. I'm trying to remember who it was. T.J. Yeldon, I think.
That's right. It was T.J. Yeldon. It was the two running backs.
The two of them sitting there just looking like they wanted to be anywhere but at the game.
That was, if you're trying to think of reasons to get worked up against the Jaguars, you have to remember this. They did it. They did that. They disrespected the game, according to Coughlin. They acted in a way not befitting a professional athlete on our sidelines. That's what they did. They disrespected the game. I remember Coughlin was up in the press box and somebody had noticed during the game that Coughlin was livid. Coughlin was just irate.
Is this when he was coaching you? Are you talking about?
No, this was last year.
Just last year.
During
all this. Okay.
Coughlin,
I thought you were going to drop a Coughlin story.
No. It's a Coughlin story from last year.
Oh, gotcha.
He was watching Fournette and Yeldon on the sideline, and I guess he was just livid that they were disinterested and not really paying attention.
Yeah.
So without anybody actually noticing it, nobody had noticed it. And like, I hadn't seen anything written about it. He delivers this statement after the game about how the behavior that Yeldon and Fournette exhibited was unacceptable, and everybody was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
So everybody went back and they looked, and it looked like they were just kind of sitting, not really paying attention, I guess, not enjoying themselves. So Fournette, it looked at that point, because remember, they took away some of Fournette's money, his bonuses, his roster bonuses. It looked like they were trying to railroad him out of town. So it worked somehow. Like Coughlin's
maybe lit a fire under him.
Somehow worked with Fournette, so he's somebody to actually watch out for. Even if you're an LSU fan, just for 1 week, try to hate Fournette a little bit because he's going to be a threat.
So the Jags suck for a lot of reasons. Do we want to go back to the genesis of this era of their sucking, which really goes back to 2011?
Well, you have to go back to 2011 where they would go on to whiff on two quarterbacks between Blaine Gabbert and Blake Bortles. In the course of 4 years, they'd whiff on two top 10 quarterbacks. And the manner in which Blaine Gabbert got drafted was a surprise to even Jack Del Rio. Here's Jack Del Rio about draft day.
I had no idea we were going to draft Blaine Gabbert. I left to go get something to eat because our pick wasn't for much longer in the draft. I go, and then I'm sitting there filling my plate, thinking, oh, great, we got a couple more hours before we pick, or, you know, hour and a half, whatever it might be. And I see the Jaguars are on the clock.
Wow.
And I'm like, what the blank is going on? And I walk into the draft room, and I could see it on the faces of the people in the room. They knew, all right, how uncomfortable that was, how wrong that was.
And they drafted Blaine Gabbert, which wound up being a terrible pick. One pick later, the Texans took J.J. Watt.
Which is, obviously, that was a previous GM. That was Gene Smith. He's not there. He's long gone. He went off off to the Jets, right?
Is that where he went?
For a little while? I don't remember if I don't remember. So that's not as much of a concern. As of late, this is where I think Jaguars fans get a little bit nervous, was Tom Coughlin's running the show. They want to go old school. They've got Doug Marrone, who's an old school Tom Coughlin wannabe type of coach. Everything he says is trying to sound like a hard-o football coach.
Give me an example.
Okay, here's an example. He says that he hasn't watched the Super Bowl in decades because he's not interested in the Super Bowl unless he's in it.
Marrone said that. Do you believe him?
I bet it. Yeah, I do. I do. Because I think he thinks that, like, yeah, I'm not going to. Which, but again, that's trying to be old school to the point where you're harming yourself.
Right.
Because one of the things about the Super Bowl is understanding the different challenges that the Super Bowl presents. For one, if he hasn't watched a Super Bowl in decades, then he probably doesn't know that the turf almost always sucks. If it's on natural grass, they're so concerned with making it look pretty that they bring in this shiny new turf from grown off in heaven somewhere, and it's always horrible footing. Sod comes up, so he doesn't know that. He doesn't know about the long gaps in time between warm-up and the actual game, all these other things, because he's so concerned with being hard-o, like, I want to be sure everybody knows that I don't actually watch the Super Bowl unless I'm in it.
So they have a horrible history with quarterbacks this decade, with Blaine Gabbert and Blake Bortles.
Yeah.
And I think we can safely assume that now that Nick Foles has a broken collarbone, it's just a matter of time before Gardner Minshew gets swallowed by their horrible quarterback culture. Is that what you're saying?
I think so. And also, well, Doug Marrone's tendency to be super conservative to the point where it almost looks like fear and cowardice.
Yeah.
Like when they were playing the Patriots, they had a good thing going. They were playing a competitive game versus the Patriots in the AFC Championship game.
And then they shrunk.
At the end of the first half, he kneeled on the ball with, was it a minute and 40 seconds left?
It's a lot of time.
It was one of the only times anybody had kneeled in any game that season, like with that much time on the clock, at the end of the first half. Because, yeah, his
he's afraid that Blake Bortles was going to turn the ball over.
His manhood shrunk up and retreated into his body.
Into his abdomen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That really uncomfortable feeling.
Right.
Where you're like, I know you're trying to protect me, body, but this is very uncomfortable.
This doesn't feel good.
That's what he did as a team.
What are some other reasons why the Jaguars suck?
I've got to be careful saying it in that way, with the Jaguars at least.
Oh, because that's your former team?
Yeah, I don't know. Let's say, like, we do this every week, but as far as them, this is reasons you to get up and dislike them as a fan.
Fair enough, yeah.
Let's see. They traded for Carlos Hyde because they thought Fournette was milking a hamstring injury.
Carlos Hyde's our guy now.
They strongly hinted that, and then they didn't do anything with him. So I guess we shouldn't be angry at the Jacksonville Jaguars for that. We should thank them, right?
No, but it's another example of dysfunction within their organization.
They signed Alfred Blue, and then they injured him.
They injured Alfred Blue. You make it sound like they galooled him in the parking lot.
They probably did. You just saw what they did about Leonard Fournette at the time. They hinted that he was faking a hamstring injury.
That is true. I mean, Alfred Blue was a little like Brock Osweiler when he was here.
Maybe Alfred Blue was injured, and they said, we don't believe you, and they put him back out there. So poor Alfred Blue, who had a love-hate relationship with while he was here. I loved him as a dude, and I liked that he was a scrappy sixth-rounder that kept sticking around. I didn't like that Bill O'Brien seemed infatuated.
Treated
with
him like
Blue.
A feature back?
Yeah. Hey, everybody, it's cool. We got Alfred Blue. Don't worry about it. We don't need a backup running back. We got Alfred Blue. Oh, Deontay Foreman's coming off of an Achilles tendon tear, and we want him to play less than a year afterwards? Don't worry about it. If it doesn't work out, we got Alfred Blue.
Alfred Blue,
yeah,
baby.
That was why people got frustrated with Alfred Blue.
And he's on injured reserve now for them, right?
Yes,
we won't get
is.
To see Alfred
injured.
Blue.
And also because of Doug Marrone. We're going to blame Doug Marrone for that.
Yeah. What else have they done to disrespect the game?
I don't know.
They got into a sideline brawl with the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, they did. Do you remember that?
No.
It was, they got into some fight and just everybody. It was actually, I kind of respect him for this. Fournette started just going after some dude from the Bills. It carried off into the tunnel. I'm not going to lie to you. That was kind of badass. That was.
You like that?
I like it because I get tired of seeing things called brawls when it's actually just people coming off the bench and staring at each other.
Yeah.
Baseball brawls are the worst. The baseball writers get all fidgety and excited right. and verklempt when guys leave the bench and they'll call it a brawl. And then you go to watch it, you click on it, and it's just guys looking at each other. And then whenever you watch a baseball brawl, look around the periphery and notice how many guys are just laughing with each other.
Yeah.
Like, isn't this dumb?
If we got to throw punches, let's make it look good.
Yeah.
We're talking about reasons to hate the Jacksonville Jaguars, Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. I'll give you one. Jalen Ramsey's act over the last year, pretty much since the time they got knocked out of the playoffs in 2017, he's been doing GQ interviews where he trashes all the quarterbacks, playing for a team that won 5 games last year. Did you see the play where Tyreek Hill got hurt in the Chiefs game against them this week?
No.
He gets tackled. I think it was Ramsey that landed on him on the sidelines, which I don't blame Ramsey for that. It's just a football play. But then Tyreek Hill is like clearly, like he's hurt, like he's on a knee. And Jalen Ramsey gets up and just shoves him. Just shoves him. And not that I shed any tears for Tyreek Hill, you know.
Yeah, but he had a broken clavicle. Yeah.
He did, yeah. So
Jalen Ramsey, one thing that he did last year that really kind of shocked me, actually, was that he didn't have his best year. It wasn't the same as it was the year before. But after one game, the Jaguars really got worked, and Jalen Ramsey basically said, well, it wasn't my fault because it was the run game that was killing us. And you go back and watch that game, and Jalen Ramsey was acting like Deion Sanders with his tackling.
Oh.
There were run plays that were his responsibility where he had force, and he wasn't coming up and making tackles. On plays where it was his responsibility, he was turning down contact. That was the first little kink in his armor where I thought he was super real, and I kind of appreciated it and liked the fact that he was so out there and willing to say stuff.
Yeah, and stabbed you right in the heart.
You were turning down contact, yeah. Man. Don't try to blame the front seven when you were a part of some of those plays.
All right, we're giving away tickets to the game.
Oh, the other thing he did. Remember? Oh, this drove me crazy. He was talking about, he tried to act like Gronk was no big deal because all you had to do was put a corner on him to shut him down.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, that's the point, Jalen. If you have to commit a cornerback to your tight end,
yeah.
They're winning. Yeah. They're winning. Go ahead and try to stop the run with that extra cornerback you have on the field to stop Gronkowski.
Yeah, he's not having that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.